the Word of God, living, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of the United Reformed Church here in Linden, as we go to the Word of God, here's our pastor, Chris Gordon.
So very thankful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church, and this week we go to John chapter 2 and look at this great event of Jesus cleansing the temple. Now, this is a huge event in the ministry of Jesus Christ of significance, and what it really is saying about the temple and about the worship of the Lord. So I want to look at this in depth this week. Let me read a little bit of this from John chapter 2. Now, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." Then the disciples remember that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." Well, what a moment in the ministry of Jesus Christ. You know, one of the celebrations that the Christian enjoys today and that the Lord has given for us to commune together is the Feast of the Lord's Supper. And as you know, there's one expectation that is given as we come and we feed spiritually on the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. It is that you come by faith. Everyone knows that. You have to believe the promises of the gospel. The question, of course, is what kind of belief? It is an astonishing thing presented to us in this text and in John's gospel that Jesus was doing many signs, and many were believing upon his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But something was all wrong. Something was vitally missing. In other words, many had an agreement that Jesus was great. Many had believed in his name, but their lives had not been changed. Their lives were still full of leaven. Their lives were still full of sin. In fact, in John chapter 2, verse 23, we have an astonishing verse. Now, when he was at the Passover in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. What a statement. There were many who believed in his name. But Jesus, on his part, would not commit himself to them. Now, when have you ever heard that today? We tell people they have to make a decision for Jesus. They have to commit their lives to him. Well, what happens when Jesus won't commit himself to them? That's a foreign message today. The problem here in John chapter 2 is that many were believing him only for his signs. Many had come to him with a certain type of faith that was not saving faith. Remember what James says. The book of James says that even the demons believe and shudder. So they at least shudder. And here we're looking at then in John chapter 2, two kinds of faith. And Jesus is drawing this out. He's showing us the kind of faith that he wants, the kind of faith that is saving faith, the kind of faith that as we embrace the promises, we know without any measure of doubt that we are indeed saved. Because there are in this text those who are saved. So we have to understand the whole big picture of what's being shown to us here in John's gospel. It's about the necessity of Jesus changing hearts. That our problem goes much deeper, and I've often said this on Abounding Grace, our problem goes much deeper than having a bad day or a bad marriage or bad financial problems, which a lot of people focus on today. They're merely focusing on the symptoms. The greatest issue has to do with the corruption of our hearts. You know, I'll hear that every now and then. There's songs in the secular world that say, just listen to your heart. And I hear Christians say that, just follow your heart. And I want to say, bad thing. Do you know that Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? To go inward, to listen to your heart, to follow your heart, to follow your own happiness is the worst thing that you could possibly do. Jesus is here exposing that problem in John's gospel. And I want you to see that he's exposing here the need for the purging of our hearts. That he does this by showing what happens to those who remain under the law. In other words, not so much the world. We know that the world is condemned. Jesus is showing us something with the nation of Israel. Jesus is showing us in John's gospel what happens with those who have all these external benefits. And we could put it into today's terms. Who have baptism, who have the Lord's Supper, who have church, who have nice church pews, who dress in ties, and who have all these things that are outwardly correct, who are closest to the Lord outwardly, and yet have not had anything inwardly change. And you see, John chapter 2 is a chapter about that. You know, in this first section, Jesus goes to the wedding in Cana of Galilee, and there he turns the water to wine. And what a beautiful section that is, because essentially what Jesus was showing there is that stoned hearts have to be transformed. That Jesus has to take these stony jarred hearts and turn them into joy-filled hearts, turned them into hearts that truly believed. In other words, this is the dawn of the era of transformation. Jesus Christ transforms sinners and gives them life. He's the only one who could do it. His hour is coming when he will have a grand feast. So we're looking at this phenomenon. We're looking at this phenomenon this week on Abounding Grace of a bunch of religious people who are externally beautiful, but inwardly full of corruption. And so the Lord is teaching us. The Lord is teaching us the need to truly believe and to have saving faith. And it takes him to come in with whips and cleanse what needs to be cleansed through the offering up of his own body. I pray today, and I pray this week on Abounding Grace, that you would sincerely ask yourself, what does he see in me? Does he see a dead, cold heart, one that just merely is external and has not truly been transformed to remove the old leaven and become a new creature in him? Do I come to church and do I say my prayers and do I put my money in the pot and do I hold up the cup and do I sing my songs with hatred in my heart to my brother? With unbelief? With a life devoid of transformation? Jesus is calling us to him. Jesus is calling us to die with him and to be raised with him as the temple of God in the Spirit. My friends, I want you to see that today. I want you to see that today and every day as we open the Word of God, the need for the great transformer of your hearts to purify you and make you washed as white as snow. Let's begin today and look at John chapter 2 with these things in mind. We have a short time here, but let's jump in. Well, verse 12 is transitional, and we read that after this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. So this is an interesting inclusion that Jesus is with his family. Now keep in mind, in chapter 7 of John, we read that his brothers did not yet believe in him. So the picture that we get is that Jesus is surrounded by unbelief. Now here's what happens. Verse 13. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, this is a fascinating statement. The first question that should provoke you as you read the scripture and as you come to a verse like this is the great question, whose Passover? The Passover of who? The Jews. The Spirit is telling us something, isn't he? Remember what Exodus had said? Remember what Exodus had said about the great Passover? Well, of course you do. It's a wonderful section that describes what the Lord had done for them in bringing them out of Egypt. But this is what it says in Deuteronomy. On the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. Deuteronomy 16. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to the Lord your God. Well, we're being told something here, aren't we? The Passover had no longer been the Lord's Passover, but it had become the Passover of the Jews. In other words, John is signaling up front what is about to be exposed is that the Jews had taken the Lord's feasts and degenerated them in exactly into what they wanted them to be, a man-made system of rules. So what happens? Jesus goes up to Jerusalem, verse 14, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. Now, a lot of people merely surface read this and say, well, they shouldn't have been selling these things in the Lord's house, in the temple of all places. Well, there's much more happening here, my friends, than what first meets the eye. And I want to, one of the benefits of Abounding Grace, I hope, is just to teach you how to study the scriptures, how to read the scriptures, how to understand what is going on and looking at the bigger picture of redemptive history, how the Bible is telling us one grand story of the person and the work of Jesus Christ to save sinners from their sin. So let me paint the scene for you this morning. Think of everything that is said in the book of Exodus that you may know. What is going on in Israel at this time? Well, the feast of the Passover is happening. That begins on what? Well, that begins on the 14th day of the month. And from the 10th of the month to the 14th day of the month, they had brought in a lamb in their homes, and they would take it out and they would slit its throat. Remember, that's what they did in Exodus. Well, remember, something else had to happen. They had to remove all the leaven from their houses so that anyone who had leaven in the house and ate it was to be cut off from Israel. So from the 14th day until the 21st day, they would eat unleavened bread. Leaven was associated with the previous year's harvest, so it became a symbol of corruption. Well, what was the Feast of Unleavened Bread teaching them? Notice verse 17. So you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For on this same day, I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout all your generations as an everlasting ordinance. Every time they celebrated the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread coinciding on the 14th day, they were to be taught that as the blood was shed and death passed them over in Egypt, giving them a brand new beginning, they were to leave in haste, not touching that old leaven of corruption. Israel, my friends, was taught the gospel. The Passover pointed them to the need for the blood of the perfect lamb, who would be a substitute in their place, paying for their sins. The bitter herbs reminding them of their bondage, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days, the number of perfection, was celebrated to remind them that God expects them to come out of Egypt with haste. He expects the old leaven of our sin and idolatry in the world to be left behind. Here's Jesus, my friends. He walks into the center of Jewish religion, and there they are. He finds the oxen, the sheep, the doves, the money changers doing business and exploiting the people in God's house, his own house. It was full of leaven, picturing the greater problem that the leaven was in their hearts. You see, Jesus comes in with whips. He comes in fury. Overturns tables, exposing that his Father's house is a house of prayer. We need to be transformed, and that's the question I ask for you today. Are you transformed? We'll come back to that tomorrow, but ask yourself, are you trusting in Jesus Christ for your salvation? Founding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times on the Lord's Day. Visit us on the web at www.lindenurc.com, or you can give us a call, 360-318-0429. So thankful that you've joined in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.